reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hill and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes we can have a very modern and sentimentalistic view of children, which will hurt us in our interpretation of this gospel. When we look at children, we can see innocent little cherubs, etc. I think most people who have been parents have been disabused of that notion. But what does Jesus talk about when he says, in response to the query, "Who is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven?" When he brings a child to him, he's saying something different. Why did the question come up where it did in the context? Was it because the other apostles were envious that Peter, as we saw yesterday in the gospel, had cast out his line, and that Jesus had paid the temple tax for just the two of them and not for everybody else? Was it going after Peter's proclamation of Jesus the Messiah and Jesus making him the rock on whom he would build his church? Was there a little envy that crept in? We don't really know. But the question came. And Jesus wanted to describe that unless we turn and become like little children, not only will we not become the greatest, but we won't even enter into his kingdom. But the more and more we become humble like that child, the greater we will be in God's kingdom. So what does it mean to become truly childlike? To have this type of conversion? St. Thérèse Lisieux is a doctor of the church precisely for helping the entire church come to know this truth. The first aspect of childhood is docility. That when Jesus turned to that little child and said, "Come here," the little child probably came immediately. Whereas Peter wanted to tell Jesus what he would or what would not do. "You will never be crucified. God forbid it, Lord." It's the first thing. The second thing is total trust in God's providence. That a child doesn't go out and work, a child's not going to be self-supportive, a child turns to the Lord for all his or her needs. Likewise, we need to do the same and really count on God rather than putting our faith, hope, and love in our own hands and our own action. God has given us that ability when we grow on up in order to be able to provide for others. But sometimes it can hurt our ability to be provided by him. And then the third aspect St. Thérèse mentioned is that it's an incredible trust in God's providence. Sorry, it's an incredible trust in God's mercy. That yes, we're little kids, we're going to fall down, we're going to scrape ourselves, we're not going to do everything perfectly. A little child doesn't have the neurosis of perfectionism, but knows that he or she is going to make mistakes. And St. Thérèse says, a truly loving little child who knows that he or she is loved, when that occurs, goes to the parents and begs for forgiveness out of love. That is the third part of true spiritual childhood. We're all called to that type of conversion, to a true docility to the Lord, to come when he says come, to go when he says go. He says that all the time to us in our discipleship. to come to him in prayer, to come to him with our burdens, to come to him in the Mass, to come to him in confession, and then to go proclaim the gospel. Are we docile in those ways? Wants us to depend on his providence, especially in prayer, knowing that he will give us everything we need because we're so much more valuable to him than the sparrows, than the grass, the lilies of the field. But also he wants us to recognize that we're going to fall and to come to him to be forgiven and to be healed. Today we celebrate the feast of a great saint, a daughter in some ways of Saint Therese and the great Teresa of Avila, Carmelite, Saint Teresa Benedict of the Cross. She discovered this over the course of her life, that type of simplicity to which the Lord was asking, and her conversion happened precisely because of this simplicity. She was born a Jew. Her dad died when she was very young. Her mom worked very hard, but because of the scandal of her dad's death, as well as the time period in which she was growing up in Germany, by 14, she knew she was an atheist. She's a very smart atheist. She studied. She wanted to learn. She sought the truth. She became a great disciple of the phenomenologist Edmund Husserl. Her life began to change one day when she was in the middle of a city, and she saw a woman with a shopping basket, a simple little childlike woman with a shopping basket, just having come from the market, go into the church. She followed her into the church to see what she would do. This woman got down and she began to pray and have what to Teresa, to Edith at the time before she had entered religious life, she was a phenomenologist. She was used to studying these phenomena. She just observed the phenomenon of this woman having an intimate conversation in prayer in the middle of the day with the Lord. She had seen Protestants in her section of the country, and they would go to the church on Sunday. The Jews would go on Saturday. But she had never seen somebody in the middle of a day with a shopping basket enter on in to pray. And the simplicity of that woman's love for the Lord touched her very much, and it started to open her up to a new reality. Second aspect of her conversion and becoming like a true daughter of the Lord, a true child, was when one of her colleagues died very young in life. She was only 25 at the time. He was a little older. And she went to console the widow whom she had befriended. And she was just full of grief at the sudden death of her colleague. But this woman, who was a Protestant, was full of hope that, yes, her husband had died and that was killing her. But on the other hand, because of the cross of Jesus as well as Jesus' resurrection, she didn't grieve like all the rest. She was able to grieve with hope that her husband was now in the presence of the Lord. And Edith was very, very moved by that type of faith and that hope, that this was a woman who truly trusted in God's providence. Third time she was over another family's home, she was starting to ask some questions, and she saw on the bookshelves, as the couple was going to bed, St. Teresa's autobiography. She began to pick it up just to read it a little bit. She wasn't all that tired. She kept reading all night. Her friends saw her in the morning, still where they had left her, recognizing that she hadn't slept a wink. She turned around to them, obviously moved, and said, "This is the truth." St. Teresa of Avila's childlike love for the Lord, even as a woman who had all types of temporalities for which she was in charge, as a woman who had suffered a lot of persecution, precisely because of her faith, even from within the church, this woman continued to trust in God no matter what, continued to trust herself like a child to St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that was it for Edith. That day, without even sleeping, she went to the local church and asked to be baptized. And that true trust lasted all the way to the end. She suffered quite a bit. She wanted to enter and become a Carmelite right away. She had to wait almost a decade to do it. After that, they shipped her out of the country because Hitler was coming after the Jews in Germany. So she went up to Holland. Even there, in retaliation for the Holland bishops speaking out against Nazism, she and her sister Rosa were put on a train and sent to the concentration camps. Could have been a time where she despaired, but she didn't. She trusted in God's providence like a little child. She was almost hearing Joshua's words at the end of today's first reading as a personal command. Be brave and steadfast. It is the Lord who marches before you. He will be with you and will never fail you or forsake you. So do not fear and be dismayed. She said, come, let us go and die in expiation for our people. She had written a great deal about the science of the cross, is what she called it, the real knowledge of Christ crucified. She had trust like a child that this was good, that she would be able to enter into his cross and enter into his resurrection. She followed Christ all the way to the concentration camp. You know, most Catholics, I was surprised when I was down preaching retreat to the Sisters for Life last week, I had made some allusion to what Jesus' name was in Hebrew, and nobody knew what Jesus' name was in Hebrew. What is Jesus' name in Hebrew? Yeshua. Where does it come from? Joshua. It's the exact same name. Just like Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, so Yeshua leads us into the eternal promised land. We need to trust him. We need to be brave and steadfast because it is the Lord who marches before us. He will be with us and will never fail us or forsake us. One who is converted and become like a little child will always remember these truths. Today, Jesus turns to us, and just like he said to the little child in the gospel as an illustration, come to me, little one. So he says to us, as he wants to feed us, he wants to lead us out into the world to try to make more and more spiritual children so that none of them be lost and all of us, like the people of ancient Israel, might pass with him across the Jordan of baptism into the eternal promised land.